As we began looking at the scriptures, now I have three bottles. One of the things that I've really enjoyed in my pastoral ministry and preaching is looking at the lives of the people in scripture and to see how God can transform men and women in the hardest situations. The last couple of years, I've really been doing a lot of research and study and writing on Daniel. And we're not going to look at Daniel, but so don't turn there. But to see how a young man who had lost everything, his identity, his land, his religion, his family, everything, and yet God brought him through that and allowed him to prosper. And I love looking at these biographies of men and women in the scriptures. And we're going to look at another one this morning, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever failed in your life? Or maybe even a better question would be, when was the last time you failed? That you had a complete failure in a situation, something that marked your life, that left scars. Sometimes when you try something once and you fail, you don't want to go back. A failed relationship, a young man or a young woman who are maybe even engaged to be married, and things don't work out and they break up, and that engagement fails, and sometimes people are scarred by that and never want to try that again. Sometimes students, when they enter their final exams, they fail, and at times they don't want to try that again. It scars, it leaves marks on their lives. You know, a failed marriage, a divorce, a bankrupt business, and it leaves marks. We see people who've succumbed and often go into a state of depression. How do you recover from failure? How do you keep your life from being marked and that being the main characteristic of your life? We're going to look at a person from the book of Acts, and you can start turning in your Bible to the book of Acts. I teach a Bible course in Marseille, and during our study, we're going through the book of Acts, and I came across this in the story, and it's very encouraging. It's not found in a single place in Scripture. It's kind of a puzzle, and some of you might enjoy putting puzzles together, and you find a piece and try to find out where it fits, and that's very similar to the story that we're going to look at today. It's the story of a young man from Jerusalem. His name is John. He's a cousin of Barnabas. He's a Jew from Jerusalem. And he and his mother were members of the persecuted church in Jerusalem. And we begin this story in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And if you remember, the church was founded. Peter gives his message. 3,000 people are saved, and the church grows to 5,000 people. You know, and it's a lot of times people wonder about mega churches, but the first church was a mega church, 5,000 people. And then we say that Stephen is preaching, and then his preaching draws persecution, and he's stoned and he's murdered on the streets of Jerusalem. And that group of believers, that church of 5,000 people with the elders being the very disciples of Jesus Christ, is scattered. And those people go all throughout Judea. Well, John and his mother were part of this small core group of people. The scripture tells us that only the disciples stayed in Jerusalem, the apostles. And then we read of a small core group, a small house church that met in John Mark's mother's house, and that's where Peter goes after he's released from prison. We know that the angel came, and we'll look at Acts chapter 12, verses 11 to 12. You remember that King Herod was against Christianity, and he imprisoned Peter and James, and he had James beheaded. And then when he saw that that pleased the Jews, he was going to kill Peter as well. We read that an angel came and released him from that prison. In Acts chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, we read, when Peter came to himself, and it's kind of like a lot of our team is having jet lag, having traveled, and you're not sure where you are. And Peter was in that state of mind. He's seen this heavenly angel come down, and he released from prison, and he comes to his senses, and he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Now, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And so we see that this young man, John Mark, was a member of a house church in Jerusalem, and he was the cousin of Barnabas. And so just to fill in some of the background, we need to talk a little bit more about his uncle, or his cousin, Barnabas. And if you remember, Barnabas was one of the converts on this first day of Pentecost. He was a Jew from the island of Cyprus. He was converted on the day of Pentecost, and the scripture tells us that he was a generous man. It seems that he was pretty well off. He owned several pieces of land, and he sells one, and he brings it to the feet of the apostles to provide for the needs of those pilgrims and that 5,000-member church. Well, we read that he was a model Christian. He went on to become one of the church's leading teachers. And he was sent to Antioch in Syria. There was the gospel had gone to Antioch, and they needed someone to come and teach these new converts. And they sent Barnabas up to Antioch. And then as a result of this, he's like, there's too many. I can't do it by myself. Who can help me? And so he seeks out the Apostle Paul, who's now taken refuge back in Tarsus. He's kind of pulled himself back from ministry. And Barnabas sends and gets Paul and brings him to Antioch. So they were both in the church at Antioch, a few hundred kilometers north of Jerusalem. And this church was pretty well off, and they sent an offering to the church down in Jerusalem. And they entrusted this money to their two main teachers, Barnabas and Paul. And we find our young man again in chapter 12 in verses 24 to 25. And we read, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned when they had fulfilled their mission to Jerusalem, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. So, okay, now here we are in our story. Paul and Barnabas are the main teachers. They've gone down, taken this offering to help the poor people in Jerusalem. It's a lot of persecution going on, only a small church down there. All of the 5,000 have scattered throughout Judea. These believers have left everything, and so they send money down to care for these Christians. Well, after they give the money to the church in Jerusalem, now they go back to Antioch, and Barnabas says, hey, I have my cousin here. Maybe he could help us in some way. He's going to make a disciple out of John Mark. And the rest of our story continues in Antioch, and we'll jump up over to chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. And most of these verses you know already. In Acts 13, 1 to 5, we read, now there were prophets and teachers at Antioch in the church that was there. Barnabas, of course, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, while they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul for me for the work to which I have called them." And then when they had fasted, prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4, it says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper." And so we see that these first two missionaries were sent out by under the authority of the local church. They go over to Cyprus, and they have John Mark with them there as an apprentice. And he's someone who there can help them. We've been served by Beulah. There she is. Taking care of our meals and working with the hotel. And that takes a big load off of what we need to do and off of what Sammy needs to do and all the team getting ready for the conference. And that's what John Mark was doing. He was taking care and providing and just doing odd jobs, anything that Paul and Barnabas needed. And so then we go on and read what happens next. Well, this team of three men, they cross the island proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're getting ready to continue. They're going to go over to what is today Turkey. They take a boat. They cross the sea to the town of Perga, which is in Turkey today, in southern Turkey. I've been there. You can still see the port, see where Paul would have sailed in. Have a nice little coffee shop there now. Maybe Paul was even there. But then we read in Acts chapter 13, continuing in verse 13. "Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem." And we look here and we see, okay, John Mark has had enough. Being away from his mother, mom's cooking, now he's having to do the cooking. Maybe it's not very good. Maybe the food is too different. We don't know exactly why he left. The scripture doesn't tell us. But he had had enough. He's like, the missionary life is not for me. And so he leaves and he goes back to Jerusalem. He abandoned Paul and Barnabas. And so they had to continue their missionary journey without anyone to help them. And if you ask Sammy if he could have done this conference in PTS without Beulah and Stanley, he would go, "No, I'm not willing to do that." But Paul and Barnabas continued. And then if we look on up into chapter 15, we'll find that Paul and Barnabas have come back from their journey. They've reported to the church in Antioch all that God had done. And in chapter 15, verse 35, we'll continue reading. "But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Hey, let's return and visit the brothers and sisters in all the cities in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with him also. But Paul was of the opinion that they should not take along with them this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to do the work. And now it turned into such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus." Now that was, remember, that was where Barnabas was a native of Cyprus, and so he's going back to the place that they had preached the gospel, but it was also a place that Barnabas knew well. "And then Paul chose Silas and departed, commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord." And I hope you are shocked by this story. I mean, here are two men of God. These are two pillars in the early church. and they can't get along. And now, I know in Indian culture, family is key. And if a brother passes away or a sister passes away, and you'll take care of their children. And we don't read of John Mark having a father, so maybe his father had already passed away. And so Barnabas feels responsible for John Mark, and so he brings him along with him. But we look at Paul and Barnabas, these two men who were best friends, were ministry partners, like-minded. They had struggled together in evangelism and in ministry. And because of John Mark, it's like, no. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if, you know, the Sammy and Stephen and Chris Williams, they go, hey, I've had enough of you. I don't want to see you again. I'm not going to work with you anymore. And everyone would go, what happened? That's not possible. Paul and Barnabas, these two close friends breaking up, an argument between two men of God. You see, Paul didn't want to trust John Mark. For him, once was enough. And in my ministry, I remember there are some guys that I've worked with, and I'm like, once is enough. And I will, because of wisdom, I will never work with them again. I remember one young man came into my office at Grace, and after we had tried to set up some things, and it didn't work out, and he abandoned us, and he came into my office, and I was like, get out. You know, I don't want anything to do with you. You go talk to another pastor. That was Paul's attitude. But for Barnabas, John Mark was family. He couldn't abandon him, and so they set off again for the island of Cyprus. And this is the last we read of Barnabas. We don't hear anything more of his ministry. And what about John Mark? He's the character that we want to look at today. Imagine the impact this had on John Mark's thoughts. The team has split because of him. Whoever was the problem that caused Sammy and Stephen and Chris to break up, that's the person that you're going to be angry with. It's like, what did he do? Barnabas and Paul, they split because of John Mark. And can you imagine the shame when he comes back to the church in Jerusalem? He walks in the door and he sits them back in the corner. And people are like, hey, John Mark, well, welcome back. You know, how was the ministry trip? It's like, I don't know. Hey, where are Paul and Barnabas? What are you doing in Jerusalem? You left from Antioch. What are you doing back here? I just came back. It's like, well, where are Paul and Barnabas? I don't know. Well, so what are you doing here? What could he say? And you can imagine the shame and the feeling of failure that John Mark must have felt. And there, people are asking, so you left them? Who's taking care of them now? I don't know. No one, I think. You know, Paul knows how to cook a little bit. Barnabas can do eggs. You know, and then Paul and Barnabas come back. And then they separate over John Mark. And then you can imagine now that he has the shame of having left the team, and then he has the further shame of causing the split. And you know what rumors happen in churches? He walks in, and people are like, oh, who's the new guy? Oh, that's John Mark. Oh, I've heard of him. Is he? Yeah, he's the one that caused Paul and Barnabas to split up. And we have to ask the question, what do you do with failure like that, with shame and the guilt? You know, people are spreading rumors and, oh, the poor man, you know, he did it all himself. It was his fault. And, you know, Barnabas just had to take care of him. You know, can you identify with John Mark? You know, with someone that bears the scars of failure? You know, the shame and the guilt of failure. And we even sang about, you know, ruined lives. I mean, what do you do with someone who's disgraced themselves and kind of marginalized and pushed to the side? You're kind of someone who's just kind of out of order. You know, do you think someone's going to say, oh, well, we can let him, bring the message today? No. Or how about if he leads the youth group? No. He'll just quit. He's a quitter. You know, and these are questions that we want to ask because this is the lesson of his life. And it's here in John Mark's failure that God opens a window to see how he works in our lives. And if we leaf through our Bibles a few books and several years later, we find Mark again. And it's in the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. What's happened to John Mark during this time? Has he just, become, someone who's not involved in the church? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. We read here that Paul is writing this letter to the church in Colossae that's going through hard times, and at the very end, he's just to fill in some of the background, you remember, Paul now is in a Roman prison. He's writing this letter from prison. He's back in Rome. And so he writes this letter and he says in verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings. And also Barnabas, his cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. And so this letter written by Paul while he's in a Roman prison refers to John Mark. And they've been reconciled. And we see John Mark is sitting next to Paul in a Roman prison. And Paul says, he's a fellow worker with me. We'll flip over another couple of pages to the letter to Philemon. Philemon? I'm not sure how you pronounce it in English anymore. And in verses 23 and 25, we read again about that John Mark is with Paul. This letter was written at the same time as Colossians. But Paul wants to, again, write about John Mark, and he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. And so we look at this and we understand, no, John Mark wasn't put off to the side. John Mark is still engaged in ministry. He's still in the service of Jesus Christ. And you know that Paul was the head of a small missionary work. He had several evangelists and teachers that he sent here and he sent there. He was the great evangelist and apostle, but he couldn't be everywhere. And so he had this team of young men, and we read the names of some of them, of Timothy and Epaphras and Silas and Luke and here Paul calls them my fellow workers. These are the guys who are by my side, next to me, engaged in the work of the gospel. And in this small list here, John Mark is one of the first that he mentions. Well, let's keep turning our Bible. We still have pieces of this puzzle that we need to put together. We want to learn exactly about this life that God is transforming. And we turn over to Paul's last letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy. Now, Timothy, he's a pastor now in Ephesus. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, we read this. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And Crescens, he went to Galatia. Titus, he's in Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. And take along Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." And so now we see that John Mark, where is John Mark? He's with Timothy back in Ephesus. Now he was with Paul in the Roman prison. Now he's back in Ephesus helping Timothy. Where is he? He's always next to a man of God. And at the end of his life in a Roman prison, the Apostle Paul asks this beloved disciple, Timothy, to come and visit him. And he says, "And bring John Mark, for he's useful to me for the ministry." Now, Paul was abandoned by many people as he's in this Roman prison. Demas, we read, has left him. He's sent other people, Titus and Crescens. He sent them off to visit some other churches and to encourage them. And only Luke is there with him. Now, just another side note. Remember that Paul was one of those who started the church in Ephesus. And I think there was also Aquila and Priscilla. And Paul stayed there a couple of years teaching the church in Ephesus. These are men that were discipled and trained by the Apostle Paul. And now, several years have gone by. If you remember, Paul warned the elders that wolves were going to come in, and they did. Paul sends Timothy back to straighten out the church. He gives them the qualifications for elders very clearly defined. So as Paul is writing this church in Ephesus, remember, everyone in the church of Ephesus, the older members, had been trained and discipled by Paul. Out of this whole group, who does Paul ask for to come help him? John Mark. John Mark. Of all the men that Paul had poured his life into for several years, he asks for John Mark. And it wasn't just that John Mark wasn't put off to the side. He wasn't sidelined. He wasn't marginalized. We see now he's valued by the very man that he abandoned. And it's a total transformation, a turnaround of 180 degrees. Now John Mark is the one that Paul wants. You know, it's incredible. John Mark was a failure. He goes on this first missionary journey with the greatest apostles, the greatest missionary team of his epoch, of his era. And after a month, he gave it up. He quit. And in a way, he was the one who caused the separation of Paul and Barnabas, the greatest missionary team, these close friends. But Jesus Christ turned this failure into a success. God gave him a second chance. Through God's grace, he gave him a second chance. God reconciled him with those he had disappointed. So that's the story of John Mark. Now, what I want to see from this biography and putting all these pieces together is, what happened? How did he do this? What are the principles from his life that I can see to overcome failures and shame and guilt in my life? Well, there's four elements that we can find here, or that I found. There might be more. But the very first one is, he gave himself to the service of Jesus Christ. He trusted in Jesus Christ. He believed in him. He decided to follow Jesus Christ. You know, and if your life is marked and scarred by failure and guilt, and if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, this is where it starts. God can't turn your life around until you decide to follow Jesus Christ. And it reminds us of these words of Christ in Matthew 11. He says, you know this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light." For those of you who are believers, you might be like me. When I came to Christ and decided to follow him and confess my sins, it was like a burden was taken off. His yoke is light. Well, this is where John Mark started. He put his trust in Jesus Christ back in Jerusalem. His first attempt was a complete disaster, a failure, but he had this desire to continue to follow Jesus Christ. And so we find his second element here is he persevered. He didn't give up. He had failed his first class in being a missionary, but he developed a deep desire to go all the way. And Proverbs 24 says that a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets up. You know, failure is a part of life. It's a natural, normal part of life. If you've never failed, that probably means you've never attempted anything. And so Scripture encourages us to attempt great things for God. And so John Mark fell, and he fell hard. He fell way down. It was a bad fall. But he got up again. He didn't let a single failure determine the path of the rest of his life. You know, and so as we enter failures in relationships or marriage or work, it's to persevere. God gives us the strength to continue. After his first failure, he left again with Barnabas for Cyprus. And then the third principle we find here is, like we've mentioned, he sought the company of mature and godly men. Every time we see John Mark mentioned, who is he next to? Paul. Timothy. He's part of Paul's inner circle. He attached himself to those men who were the pillars of the church. He sought out those who had a deep knowledge of God and those who had an intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he glued himself to them. We see him with Barnabas and now Paul and Timothy. And if we keep flipping our Bibles, in our Bibles, and we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll read about another man that John Mark spent time with. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, just at the very end of the letter written by the Apostle Peter, we read, "The church of the elect which is in Babylon greets you, as does Mark, my son." Now, Peter, I don't think Mark was Peter's son. That was the house that Peter went to after he was in prison. But now, have you ever heard someone say, this is my son in the Lord? What does that mean? Usually it means that this is a young man that I've led to the Lord. And I've discipled him and I've spent time with him. He's my son. Sammy's like my nephew. We're far enough away that we don't get to spend a lot of time, but we try to get together as much as we can. But so when Peter calls John Mark his son, I don't know for sure, but it seems that back in Jerusalem, when the only Christians that were left were the apostles, and there was this small house church meeting in his home, that Peter probably led John Mark to the Lord. And now Peter says, John Mark, my son, sends his greetings. And so we find Peter's in Rome, and by his side is John Mark. And so we see that John Mark has spent time with Peter, and Peter, the chief apostle, calls him my son. And so John Mark had earned the trust and respect of Peter and Paul and Barnabas and Timothy, the greatest pastors and leaders of the early church. He was always in the company of mature, godly men. Let me read to you the last letter that Paul wrote to Timothy again. And again, it's a verse that you know very well. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul writes to Timothy, "Now what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust it to faithful men who are able to teach it to others as well." And we see you probably, I'm sure, Sammy has taught on this passage. We read that Paul speaks of four generations: Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and then others. And you know, I believe, and I think it's clear, that John Mark was one of these faithful men. Paul taught Timothy, and we see John Mark next to Timothy, and I'm sure Timothy taught these same things to John Mark. You know, he was one of those faithful men that Timothy had entrusted with everything he had heard from Paul also. You know, so if your life has failure in it, and if your life is marked by and scarred by failure, these are the lessons of this young man's life. And it begins with a life given to Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, stand firm and persevere. Work through those. Don't give up. Continue the path of Jesus Christ and in His service. And third is attach yourself to men or women of God. Spend time with those who know the Bible better. That's why we're here together, to be around other godly believers. That's why we have home Bible studies and conferences, to be in the company of those who know the Bible better, who have years of experience with Christ, and to help those of us who are younger believers to grow in our faith. You know, there's a saying that says, you'll be like those with whom you associate. If you associate with thugs, you're going to become a thug. And if you associate yourself with godly men and women of God, you're going to become just like them. That's the life of the church, the fellowship. And now the fourth element is seek always to deepen your knowledge of Jesus Christ. We see that this young man, John Mark, dedicated his life to knowing Jesus Christ and making him known, and he dedicated himself to learning every detail he could, to know all of the teaching and all of the miracles of Jesus Christ. He wanted to know everything that Jesus Christ had done. You might be asking me, how do we know that? Now, you didn't give us any verses that talk about that. How do we know that was the guiding force in John Mark's life? was to know everything he could about Jesus Christ and write everything down and gather everything together he could. Well, you've probably read his book, haven't you? It's called The Gospel of Mark. And this is the story of the young man who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He started as a complete failure. And he dedicated his life to gathering all the information he could and writing a book to pass it on to others. And we know that if you look at John Mark's book, it's shorter for people that don't have a lot of concentration. And John Mark's book is about action. The main word he uses in it is immediately. Immediately, Jesus went to Jerusalem. Immediately, Jesus met a centurion. Immediately, Jesus healed him. Immediately, and it's a book of action. Who is it that loves action and has a short span of attention? Young people. Like John Mark. John Mark was a young man. And so he writes a short version of the gospel filled with action to reach young people like himself. You know, it's a life transformed by Jesus Christ and dedicated to his knowledge and attached to men of God, and a life that was marked by failure transformed into success. And we see that the work that he put into writing this book, his gospel, has transformed the lives of millions of people throughout history. All written by a young man who started his life as a failure, his Christian life as a failure. And he presents Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as someone who can transform lives, because it was his life also that was transformed. You know, God takes people who are out of order, failures, whose lives are marked and scarred by failures, and he turns them into successes. And he does that for his glory, so that Jesus Christ may be manifested and shown as the Savior of mankind, as the Lord who transforms lives. And Jesus Christ wants to do the same with each of you. May God bless the teaching of his word. Amen.